Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be gathered in the house of God this morning. Good to see your choice of coming here to worship God. You did have a choice this morning of where you were, and you chose to be here. May God bless you for that. For a message this morning, you can open your Bibles to John chapter 1. St. John, chapter 1. My text is verses 1 to 14. I'll read that at this time. John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, I believe. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My sermon title this morning is simply three words: Jesus, the Word. You notice that our passage begins with that: in the beginning was the Word. Why doesn't it say, in the beginning was Jesus? And there is a definite reason for that. In the beginning was the Word. The Greek word for word in this passage is logos. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Word. But I believe our Bible translators, when they translated it Word instead of Jesus, did that for a reason, and like to contemplate what that reason is this morning, and what all surrounds that as we find it in this passage. Jesus Christ is the Logos in the Greek. Jesus Christ is a living, eternal Word. Jesus, the Word, was with God, and He was God. Keep your fingers there and turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see here, in the beginning. So what was in the beginning? We're thinking about the era that was before the creation. We're moving right into the creation story here. And in the beginning there was God. And there was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters. Jumping over to verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1. Many times as you go down through this creation account, you'll see that the phrase, and God said, or God made. But when he gets to verse 26 and he talks about creating man, it's worded differently than elsewhere in the chapter. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Who was the us in verse 26? Let us make man in our image. Who is the our? Those little pronouns. Let us, our image, our likeness. Who is that? Well, it was God and his Son, Jesus, the Word, as St. John calls him. So who was in the beginning with God before creation? Well, it was his Son, Jesus, the Word. God and Jesus were there. But they were not two separate entities. God and Jesus are one. God and Jesus are eternal. That we know because they were both present in the beginning, before creation. Jesus and God already existed before creation day. Therefore, Jesus the Word was before all things and is the eternal God. We believe in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we believe that Jesus is God. Jesus, the Word. Before everything else came in Genesis chapter 1, before there was light, before there was day and night, before there was oceans, before there were mountains and grass, before there were trees, before you had the sun, moon, and stars, and planets, and everything in space, before you had fish and birds, before you had great whales and cattle, and all creeping things, and before you had man, Adam and Eve, there was the Word. There was God and his Son. Eternal beings. In verse 3 of our text, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Jesus, the Word. God himself made all things. There is nothing in God's creation. I know there are things in our world today that man has put together. But in God's creation, in the things that you observe, if you go out and sit down in the woods and look at God's creation all around you, there is nothing there that you can see or touch or hear that the Word Jesus didn't make, didn't create. God created it all. The Word created it all. Jesus, the Word, was involved in all of creation. And there was nothing made without him. Verse 4. In him, the Word, Jesus the Word, in Jesus the Word was life, And the life was the light of men. What is life? What is meant by "in the Word was life"? I believe many things. You think about the plants, the great diversity of plants. And you think about the fact that plants grow a seed. And inside of that seed that you can hold in your hand, there is life. Because if you do the right things to that seed and you plant it in the right soil and you have the right temperature and the right moisture, it's going to grow. It's going to prove that there's life inside of it. Jesus, the Word, is life. When God in heaven created the plants, He created them with life inside of them. He created some plants that grow for many growing seasons, thousands of years perhaps. And He created some that only grow for one season. And you can preserve it by a seed. Others stay in the ground and grow on. The Word was life. Let's just go back to Genesis 1 and look briefly at the things that God made, especially relating to plant life. I'm not going to read all of these verses, maybe not any of them, but verses 1 to 13. You find God's creation there. I was especially thinking of verse 11, 12, and 13. There you see the plants. The fascinating thing about plants is that they were made to sustain man. They were made to sustain the life of humans. And God understood our need for plant life. The Word was life. What is life? Well, life is animal life. And again, great diversity. Everything from the mouse who lives in your house to the dog and the cow, the horse and the elephant and the lion. And the great list that you can make of animals, they all have life. And their offspring has life. And man, like animals, like plants, are very useful to man. Man uses animals to get his work done. He uses animals for food. He uses animals for clothing and shelter. Different cultures use animals more than others. But animal life was created by God. Life. In the Word, Jesus was life. Human life. The life that He gave to Adam and Eve, the first parents of the world. The life that He gave to every man, woman, and child that lived since then. The life that He gave to each of us present this morning who find ourselves alive. That life. That life is wrapped up inside of Jesus, the Word. Jesus, the Word, was the origin of all that life. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is another thing that is contained in Jesus, the Word, being life. This is the greatest one. Some would believe, some Bible scholars would believe, this is the only one that is in reference in John when he speaks of life. Seems to me it would include all, but it certainly does include this one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus, the Word. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So Jesus, the Word, is also the source of eternal life. He could not be the source of eternal life if he himself was not eternal. But we already talked about that. That in the beginning, the Word was. We don't understand that. We don't understand eternity past. But Jesus is the source of eternal life. Going back to John. John 1, again, looking at verse 4. So the Word was life. Jesus, the Word, was life. And in verse 4, in him, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. I believe this light is the sustaining force of life. This light is what keeps the life. I believe this light sustains plant life. I believe this light sustains animal life and human life, and I believe it sustains eternal life. They all have the seed within themselves. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus, the light, the source of all light, shines in the darkness. That word comprehended, the darkness comprehended it not, would be better interpreted in modern English today. The darkness hindered it not. Think about plant life and think how it has sustained itself for thousands of years in spite of facing famine, in spite of facing man who destroys plants and recklessly, in spite of all the things that have happened in our world, plant life continues. The darkness has not hindered it. It still feeds you and I today. Think about animal life. Think about all the endangered species, and I understand that there are probably some animals who no longer exist in God's world, but by and large, the majority of the animals that God created, man can't even annihilate them if he tries. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness surrounding the darkness, the opposition to the life of animals. Don't hinder it. The life continues. Human life. Look back at human history. Think about all the terrible wars and the tyrants who lived in this world, who endeavored to get rid of human life or segments of it. Think about disease and plagues that have been in this world for thousands of years. But you know what? The light that shines in the darkness has not been hindered. There are more humans on the face of the earth than ever before, in spite of all the other. Who has kept that alive? It's God. It's the Word, the source of life. The darkness cannot hinder life, eternal life. Eternal life. I said before, we don't understand everlasting and eternal, but God does, because God is that. And if we are born again this morning, living for the Lord, we are promised eternal life. And the darkness doesn't hinder that either. All the wickedness in our world, all of the devastation, but the light of the Word shines on eternally. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, I believe. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light that lighteth every man. Do you have that light this morning? Do you children have a light inside of you this morning? Do sinners on the face of this earth, the wickedest of them, have a light inside of them? The answer is yes. There is a God-given light that lighteth every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. A God-given light. Quoting Adam Clark, he says, human intellect is a ray from God's brightness. You ever think about that? If you have any human intellect at all, it is because the light of God shone upon you. It's a ray from His brightness. Many places the Scripture would tell us that Christ, the Word, God, are the spring and fountain of all wisdom. Do you have any wisdom this morning? Well, it's because of the light of God that is shining upon your life. Do you have a conscience this morning? Do you have a conscience that tells you what's right and what's wrong? Do you face the decisions of a day and of a week without a conscience? I know a conscience can be trained wrong. But every child, woman, man upon the face of the earth has a conscience. And that is part of that light that lighteth every man in the world. Go with me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, 1-5. Isaiah prophesying long before Jesus the Word came as a man to the earth. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. There's a light that's shining, an everlasting light. And thank God it has brought Jews and Gentiles alike into its blessing. The darkness of our wicked world cannot hinder Jesus the Word. Even if the whole world opposes him, his light still shines, praise God. Verse 10, 1 John, John 1:10. He was in the world. Jesus the Word was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What a paradox that Jesus, the Word, came to this world, and those who he had created, many of them did not know who he was, even though he was their creator. And they didn't receive him, many of them. But those that were born of God and received him became the sons of God. Verse 14. And Jesus, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word, the eternal God of heaven, came to earth and was born of a virgin birth. He was held as an infant in his mother's arms, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He grew up to be a young boy, just like the young boys in our audience this morning. He sat in an assembly like this where someone would get up and preach and read, and he listened just like you listen as young boys. But there was something different about him. He was God, the Son of God, in human flesh. And you know the story. He grew to be a man. They walked and taught on the face of this earth. Jesus, the Word. In closing, I'd like to read the closing of Shadrach Meshach Lockridge's sermon of many years ago. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to quote directly from the end of it. Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invisible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you this, that the heaven of heavens can't contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. There's nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. Thine is the power, yea, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his, yes. Thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. How long is that? Forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, then, amen. Shall we kneel for prayer?